This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. My name is Logan, and that, of course, means you are listening to another episode of The Crown Cast. And today, just like every episode of The Crown Cast, absolutely nothing special about it at all. I am joined by a man who's here to talk about absolutely nothing special. It's Ewan. Hello, Ewan.
Yeah, I'm the not special part here. I think we've got something pretty special going on this one. But yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, we do have something kind of special. Charlotte FC has been big on trialists recently. Right. So what we're doing is we've got a trialist here with us today for the Crown Cast. You might have heard of his name, a young man by the name of Brandon Cambridge. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? Thank you guys for having me. Excited to be here.
Hey, super happy to have you, man. Ewan will confirm for me that this is a super fun interview for me because since you've come onto the team at Crown Legacy up to Charlotte FC, I've been waiting to get this interview done. So really happy to have you in the studio, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
So what we're going to do is we're going to grill you for all of the hardest questions we can ask.
All right.
It's just going to be the toughest. We're going to test your media training. We're going to see how these guys did. We're going to start with real hard one. And that is one of my favorite questions to ask is, do you have any pre-match routines? Anything that feels special for you?
I would say, yeah. For home games, especially, on game days, I don't tend to actually wake up very early because we do play later on in the evening. And I feel like getting up early, just kind of I'm sitting there, you know, just very anxious for the game to begin or warm-ups to begin. So I feel like the later on in the day that I do wake up is the less time that I have to kind of sit there and ponder for the game, because that's something that I do the night before as well. So I'll probably get up typically around 10:30, 11. Game day, take a walk to Starbucks, get me a nice little coffee.
Ooh, what's the coffee order?
Hazelnut espresso.
Hazelnut espresso. I was going to say, are you even allowed to have Starbucks? Is that in the approved list of food and beverage items?
I would say an espresso shot is not too unhealthy. So I think it passes the cut. So
yeah, I can tell you that being in the same room with you, The listeners to this will not be able to see how good of shape you're in.
I appreciate that.
I don't think you have a food and beverage problem. If you do, we're all in trouble. Let's jump over here, Ewan, and let's go to your first question for him.
Yeah. I was just wondering, obviously, going off the back of that, just kind of some off-field stuff with regards to the team and everything. The group of wingers that you're a part of generally is a really, really young group. You know, and that's not even just talking about Bochimas. He's obviously so young, but it's guys like you and Kerwin Vargas and obviously Tavares coming through as well. It was kind of interested to learn about the dynamic of that group and how close you guys are, and without there being like a real mentor figure because of how young you all are, just kind of how that works between all of you and whether you share tips and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first thing is that it's very competitive, but I would say in a healthy way. I mean, obviously, there are some language barriers between me and Kerwin and Yuri as well. But I'd say overall, they both speak English very well, so it's very easy to get along with them and, you know, connect with them. I'd say training is always very competitive. We do try to push each other as much as we can. We call Nympha the baby of the group for obvious reasons. But yeah, Nympha is also amazing for his age. But yeah, like I said, it's amazing. I think it's competitive, but also in a healthy way. There's no malice towards any of it. So,
I mean, competitive is probably what we want it. We talk a lot when we don't have the footballers on the podcast about the fact that we essentially want you guys to be at war. Right. We want you to be friendly and we want the locker room to be in good standing and all of that stuff, which is a bit, you know, counterproductive. But we want you to be at war. I want Patrick Ajimong and Yuri Tavares to be looking at each other going, I'm better than you and I'm here to prove it. And still at the same time, be in the locker room and be friendly with each other. Mm-hmm. What is it like having that relationship? Is it something that develops over years? Is it something that you just get thrown into the professional leagues and you're like, well, now I have to learn how to be friendly, but also want to take people out?
Yeah, I mean, I would say like a big point that I could emphasize is in college, I remember my college coach would always tell me, this is the last team you're ever going to be on. And at the time, I never really understood until you kind of get into the pro environment that it's no longer, you know, you're playing with your boys and you're just kind of having fun for it. Like you said, there's like a healthy competitive edge towards it. You want to beat that guy out. You want to be the one getting the minutes. You want to be the guy making the difference in the game. So if you're going about training like, oh, hey, we're all friends here. Everything's good. You know, someone might come and just take your spot. So I think that in training, you know, we battle. We really train hard and we go for each other sometimes. And, you know, it, sometimes that does show on the training field. But one thing that is, like I said, the healthy aspect of it is when it comes back to the locker room, you know, the music's on, we're dancing, we're all still teammates again. So I'd say that's the biggest difference between college and now. And that's kind of what I learned.
So follow up question for you there. That's what's the music in the locker room?
Depends who's on the aux. You know, if we got Kerwin or Enzo, we obviously got the Latin music. If we, Chituro Dunze's been really good on the aux lately.
Ooh.
And I'd say Bill Tuloma is also, he's pretty good on it as well, I'd say.
I've met Bill a couple times. He seems like the type of guy who might DJ in his free time, just for fun. He's not looking for any like financial income out of that. He just thinks it would be a good night out.
Yeah. I thought Westwood would have put his foot down with captain's orders and got some UK stuff going on, but I guess not.
Westy's a bit of the dad of the group. He just sits back and listens to what's new on the charts nowadays.
Nice.
I'm glad to hear that because we reference Westy as sort of the dad.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to hear that follows through all the way through the players. I'm going to do one more here, and I'm going to say one of the highlights of wingers is that we now expect them to be able to do everything. Coaches say, well, you have to be able to shoot off your right and left foot. We need you to be able to beat a man to the byline. We need you to be able to cut in, you know, if you're on the right into the left and beat a man into the interior of the pitch and then dribble inwards. We need you to be able to connect with the midfield, get all the way back and help your fullback out. And we need you to do magic tricks while you're doing all of that stuff. Nobody can do all of it, right? But getting to the byline, especially in the MLS, being able to beat a man down the wing, is a really valuable skill. Once you are at that byline, once you've taken that man on, what is being asked of you as a player? In the MLS league, are they saying, hey, I want you to hit this guy on the back post right on his forehead? Are they saying, here's a space we're looking at attacking? What are the coaches asking of you?
I would say that it depends. It depends on the game we're going into. There's certain games where, you know, the manager will want you to beat the player and go to the byline. And, you know, maybe the team is very good at defending low crosses and cutbacks. So then you're going to have to stand the ball up and chip it towards the back post for perhaps a header down or a header on net. And maybe it's the opposite. Maybe they're very good in the air. So you want to have early crosses in behind on the ground, or you want to cut it back as well. So it varies depending on how a team's defending. There's not really a straight answer for it, but you just have to be able to do all three pretty much. So
you just have to have every card in your arsenal. So a good question to follow that up with then is, in your experience playing, how often is it the attacking strength of the team versus the defending strength of the team that makes the decisions of where that ball goes?
To be quite honest, in terms of my play, when a manager will put me in the game, they know what they're getting out of me. I like to play early crosses hard and low behind the back four, just because I feel like that's the most difficult for them to deal with. And I also think cutbacks as well, because I mean, once you mix it up, if you play enough early crosses, they will drop back. Dropping back opens the cutback. So I mean, if you kind of mix those two things up, I found in my experience of playing that one or the other will always be open. So that's just kind of what I do.
Absolutely. Ewan, you want to follow us up here?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of follows up from what we were talking about there in terms of how much a winger is asked to do, and also a little bit on kind of the themes of MLS play. This comes from listening to what Dean Smith has said, from what Ashley Westwood has said, and also what Breck Diagra has said in interviews when asked about, you know, certain emphases of the team. The out-of-possession emphasis, especially when it comes to the forward players, is a thing that comes up all the time and seems to be a massive theme of the team. Can you speak a little bit? Obviously, you don't want to give away the secrets of the team and things like that, but just speak a little bit to how much of an emphasis is placed on the out of possession stuff. Obviously, we think of a winger, get on the ball, take on a man, do that kind of stuff. How much emphasis is placed on that defensive side of the game from your position?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a very, very big part of the game that I kind of overlooked. You know, coming from college, I just enjoyed, you know, beating my man, going down the line, doing everything with the ball. But in MLS, it's very fast paced and there's good players everywhere. So tracking back is also a very, very big part of the game. And I think especially in MLS, fullbacks are so dynamic that if your wingers aren't tracking back, I mean, sometimes you see with Miami especially, you could be in trouble. So I think that's something that we've especially worked on this preseason, just making sure that everybody on the team is working for each other and working hard so that, you know, we have as many players as we can back. So I think you've seen that in the first couple of games here. We've been very solid defensively. So it's been a big point that we've worked on and kind of emphasized in preseason.
So I'm going to hit you with the big one. This is the one that everybody is asking and everybody wants to know. And that is Christian Latanzio to Dean Smith. The transition has met with results on the pitch. If you look at the statistics, they have been pretty good games, but they haven't been, you know, expectations of, oh, Charlotte could have scored four and got unlucky to have one hit on them against Vancouver. What is the difference in your mind between the way Latanzio set out for the team and the way Dean Smith is setting out for the team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've got respect for both managers. I think so far, Dean has also played a very big part in my development, even though that I'm out. I would say mostly just the freedom to express yourself is like a big change this year. I think as the games go on and guys grow into the play style, you'll start to see it more. You know, we're still clicking as well. But you see it a lot with Yuri as well. I think he's been doing very well. And, you know, he's showed some flashes of brilliance. And I think that the ability to express yourself, especially as an attacker, is something that is more open this year than it was last year.
Okay. So would you say that you've seen the structure of the team be made a little bit more simple in order to allow players to go out and express their game more?
Yeah, I'd say that was also a big part of it. I wouldn't say the game plan is not as complex, but I would say that, if that makes sense. So it's more easy flowing and simple. That's mm-hmm. the best way I can put it. It's simple and guys can kind of tweak it to their own abilities. And it's not structured to a certain player or a certain aspect. So
awesome. Ewan, let's do one more from you and then we'll talk about some questions from our Patreon.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Again, it touches on a little bit the transition from Latanzio to Dean Smith. And obviously, there's a lot of respect there, like you mentioned there. So we don't want to turn it into anything like that. But just in terms of stylistically, the fullback change is probably one of the things that you would look at and say that's a very obvious change in going from the fullback inversion to now fullbacks play a little bit more traditionally under Dean Smith. How would you say as a winger that affects your play, and how would you say, does that kind of suit your game a little bit more, and how excited are you to kind of get out on the pitch and play with a winger who might sort of get down the line and give you a hand, get into the byline, as Logan mentions earlier?
Yeah, I mean, I think different managers have different play styles, and obviously, you know, the level that we're at now, we have to be able to adapt to that. I think this year the fullbacks not inverting has obviously helped us, as you know, I don't know if you've seen, but our wingers are also staying very wide as well. So it gives players like Nathan, especially, who's very dynamic, the ability to kind of get forward and join in on the attack, which is nice. Because sometimes, you know, if you have a 1v1 situation, a 2v1 is obviously better. The more numbers, the better. So, yeah, I think leaving the fullbacks wide this year will be a big, big part of the way we play.
Awesome. Yeah,
no, perfect. Perfect. I was just going to say, just quickly off the back of that, you mentioned there how wide the wingers are playing last year, playing with a bit more minimum width. Is that with more of a focus for the out of possession counter pressing, or was there anything in particular reasons that caught us all why that was done, having those guys play a little bit more narrow?
And I'll jump in on this one. If you can't answer that, we understand.
No, that's, yeah, it's fine, obviously, yeah.
I think what we're trying to show this year and what you guys will see is that we want to be a dynamic team. We want to be an exciting team. And I think that, you know, like you guys are saying, like you haven't seen the 4-goal games or whatever yet, but those are going to come. And I think that, you know, having our wingers wide is going to make sense as the games go on, and you guys are going to see some very exciting games. So I'll leave it at that for now.
North Carolina sports fans, soccer fans, baseball fans, whatever sport you're a fan of, soon DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in your state. Starting March 11th, you'll be able to bet on all of your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings. To celebrate, new customers who download DraftKings Sportsbook app today using code QCPN, again, that's QCPN, will score up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once we're live. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code QCPN to get up to $300 in bonus bets once mobile sports betting goes live. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code QCPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-18-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. New customers only, subject to regulatory license requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
Let's go ahead and let's do some questions from our Patreon, which you can get access to if you join us and support us over on Patreon at the CrownCast. It's just $5 a month. If you can support us, great. If not, totally understand. We're happy to have you here on the Wednesday episodes, which are and will always remain free. So thank you so much. If you're spending your time with us, we love you. This one is from Soyunza. And he has asked, is there a specific trophy or accomplishment you'd really like to win in your career?
MLS Cup, for sure. I think that, and yeah, I have it written actually on my mirror in my bathroom. I wake up and I look at it every single day. It's something that, you know, Charlotte has been so good to me, taking me in as a rookie and, you know, giving me the platform to kind of show you guys what I can do last year. And obviously this injury didn't come at the best time, which is unfortunate, but, you know, there's a good timing for everything. And I do want to show the fans, and I know the rest of the guys want to show you guys that, you know, we really can go out there and win this thing. And it's a big, big, big goal for us. So
I think that's not only a good goal to have, it means hopefully you're winning the MLS Cup with Charlotte.
Yes.
This year. I mean, if you're going to go ahead and make it happen, that'd make us all very happy. Let's go to the next one. This one from Tyler Miller. What's one aspect of your game from college that you hope to show through in the MLS? And what is one aspect of your game that you want to keep developing?
I'd say an aspect from college that I can bring over is my goal scoring and 1v1 ability. I think that, you know, obviously I didn't get the minutes I would have hoped to have had last year, but I think in the minutes I was given, you guys were able to see my goal scoring ability. I do want to demonstrate my 1v1 ability more, and I think that'll come throughout the year. So that's on the way. Something that I do want to work on for sure this year is probably my hold up play back to goal. I mean, you won't see it a lot as a winger, especially this year, but you know, you never know. Maybe I'll play 9, maybe doesn't, you know, never know where the game will take you. So
ooh, you heard it here first. Brandon Cambridge potentially at the 9. Go ahead. Make it happen on Twitter. The whole social media explosion is coming, and everyone please blame Brandon. None of it was us. I think one of the things you say there that we can very briefly touch on is the fact that if you're working on that hold-up play, we have already seen with Kerwin Vargas on that right side that Kerwin is considered to be one of the places the ball can go out. And oftentimes with his speed and with the way the team is set up, it's kind of him on an island and he has to hold the ball for a few seconds. I don't think it's that far of a stretch for us to see that if it was not Kerwin in that position and one day Kerwin was on the left and you were on the right, that hold up play you're working on might become very valuable very quickly. Is that something that you're looking at as a long-term goal for you? Is that something you've picked up recently?
No, just a long-term goal in general. I mean, I think it's always a good thing to be able to be strong back to goal, you know, no matter what position you're playing. So, yeah, just mainly just about being able to get stronger on the ball at a standstill in general. So, no, nothing recently, just something that I've picked up over the years and always wanted to, you know, get stronger at it. So
the last one that I'm going to jump in here with before we go into talking about looking ahead to Toronto and also hitting you with the lightning round. The lightning round is fun. I promise there's nothing that all the serious talk will be over after this one. And that is, are there any players? Well, all the serious talk is almost over. You still have to give us your crown so you can have officially join the crown cast. Are there any players in the MLS or the greater football world that you really look up to and wish you could play alongside? And please don't say Ashley Westwood. We know everyone loves Ashley Westwood. He's obvious.
You said an MLS, correct?
MLS or the greater world.
MLS or the greater world. My soccer idol is Cristiano. So, you know, that's always...
Hold on a minute. Let me remove that from the lightning round.
I mean, yeah. Cristiano has been a big idol for me growing up and now. I mean, I admire him in a lot of ways. And, you know, you never know. He is in Saudi now, and you never know. Maybe he might make the jump to MLS, and I think it would be pretty cool if I could play with him. So,
all right. If you could be on the other side of anybody, it'd be Cristiano Ronaldo. We like that.
I'll say as well, quickly, you can tell that he's your idol from the two-footedness that we see from you and the dribbling stuff. You can definitely see that it comes through in that. So good football idol to have.
I would agree. Pretty solid football idol. Let's go ahead and we are going to officially welcome you as an honorary member of the Crown Cast. What we do at the end of every game, we give out crowns and cards. We give out crowns to players who really over exceeded expectations. And we give out cards to people who we'd say, hey, I know this guy's skill set. I think they would have wanted a little bit better today. Right. We're not going to ask you to give out any cards. We're not that rude. I mean, we thought about it. We workshopped it and we decided, nah, better not. So I'd like you to give us a crown for somebody in the performance against Vancouver that we have just seen. And then I'd like you to give us a crown for Charlotte FC in general. So it can be somebody from the lower tiers, from Crown Legacy, who's been really instrumental in bringing people up. It can be somebody in the back room, somebody on the media side, or it can be another one of the players who you feel like just deserves some flowers. So let's do for their performance in the Vancouver game, who do you think deserves to stand out?
I would say Yuri Tavares for sure. I think that he's someone that, you know, me and Pat played with in Legacy and I've always rated him as a teammate and as a player. And I'm watching that Vancouver game, especially how dynamic and electric he was. It was exciting to watch and I was very happy for him, especially for him to get his first goal for the club. So I think that that's very little of what he can do. And you guys should definitely expect more from him. So I would give my crown out to him.
One crown to Yuri Tavares. And I think that would have been the obvious one for his performances. He's really lighting it up. Yeah, I mean, is he that exciting of a person off the field as well?
He's quiet. He's a quiet guy off the field.
Really? He's a quiet guy.
He's quiet. Well, at least with me. I mean, like I said, the language barrier makes it tough sometimes. So, yeah, he's quiet.
Yeah, but Enzo Capetti has a language barrier and nobody thinks he's quiet. All right, let's give out a crown to the greater Charlotte FC community. Can be another player who you think deserves to get called out or somebody else. Who are you giving your second crown to?
I'd say Tyler Knight. Tyler is one of our athletic trainers and physios, and he's been helping me with my rehab right now. And I think he's just a guy that, you know, all the guys can appreciate. He makes you feel comfortable. He's always in a great mood. He's always got a smile on his face. And yeah, Tyler Knight for sure.
Well, dang, we need to get a picture of Tyler so that we can do like a good Photoshop crown cast crown on him and, you know, then get you professionally shaking his hand. We'll do the whole nine yards. I am looking forward to it. And a lot of people are looking forward to seeing you back on the field, myself being one of them. I realize no one can say with specifics. about how long are you thinking it will be before we get to see you back on the Charlotte FC pitch?
I don't like to set deadlines just because, you know, with injuries, you never know. You could progress faster. You could progress slower. Right now, rehab is going very well. Things are coming along well. I do want to be back playing by early May. So right now, that's what we're looking at.
All right. And obviously, that is not a a specific. So if it's late May, I won't be too upset. Ewan, are there any final questions you want to have a go at before we look at Toronto?
I mean, it's fairly broad, but obviously we've touched a little bit on Dean Smith tactics-wise and a little bit of change from Latanzio to him. But one of the things that you hear a lot about him is just that direct player development that you get from him, the amount of time that he spends with players, how personable he is as a coach, just, you know, coming across really well. Just speak a little bit about him and your experience so far with him and whether that kind of stuff is translating through to you guys in the short time that you've had with him so far.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's just got here, but I mean, it feels like he's been here for, you know, years. I mean, the guys are, and myself included, are very comfortable around him. He's always in great spirits. He's always encouraging you. You know, if you make a mistake in training, he's never on you. He wants confidence. He wants you to try things, and I think that's very important. And I think that that is what has gotten us our success so far. And, you know, even though we have seen that, it can get better, and I think it will get better throughout the next games. So,
all right, well, let's go ahead and take a quick look ahead to Toronto. Dean Smith and Charlotte FC have already set up one win, 4 points in so far. I think most Charlotte FC fans would have said if you win the home opener and then you go and you take a point at Vancouver, that would be a pretty solid start to the season. I certainly think it was a pretty solid start to the season. Excited to go and continue racking up the points. Toronto is clearly your next victims. That's the way that I'm going to say it. But Toronto is a good football side. They have a couple of names that people might be particularly familiar with. Bernadeschi and Lorenzo Insigne are no joke. They're both very good players. They're both very threatening on their day. And one of the co-hosts of this podcast, Josh, is actually, I think, full in love with Lorenzo Insigne. Ewan, can you confirm or deny that for me?
Yeah, something that stems from a wider Italian football love, yeah, from his time in Napoli. Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
So what we have is we have the ability to go and look at how they've played before and stuff, but you guys look at these from a much more in-depth perspective. When you look ahead to this Toronto game, where do you see Charlotte getting joy?
You know, obviously, Toronto last year and Toronto this year are two different things, I think, since John has taken over. You saw, especially in their last game, that they're a little bit more disciplined. So I think our dynamic play will be an issue for them going into this game. It's something that we're looking at, and you know, hopefully it can put the dagger in the heart. So
the other question I will have for you is Dean Smith's Charlotte FC, this next generation of Charlotte FC, has been defensively incredibly solid. Now, I realize some people put more stock in preseason than others. One of the places I put quite a bit of stock in preseason is seeing how defenses work together, because oftentimes it's very plug and play with defenders. It's very, this guy is getting a run out, or we're changing things up at halftime. And if the defense is showing continual success, it usually means the system's quite solid. Do you feel like this is the biggest test from Toronto that you guys have faced thus far from a defensive perspective? Or do you feel like this is another one, chalk it up, they're not scoring any goals on us?
I mean, in MLS, every team's dangerous, and I don't think there's any game that we'll walk into this year thinking it's a breeze, and I don't think you can go about things like that just because, like I said, with MLS, you never know. Different team can show up on a different day, so I think Toronto are very dangerous, and we do have our respect for them, and we'll be ready for them. So,
amazing. Finally, what will be your score prediction for Charlotte FC versus Toronto? I myself, I'm going to go 2-1 Charlotte, Some might say that's optimistic. I say, why not?
Well, we're not going to concede. Let's put it that way.
Oh.
Our defense has been very solid this year, and I definitely bank them. So, yeah, I would say 2-0 win for Charlotte.
2-0, Ewan. How are you sitting on the predictions, buddy?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter now. We've had the guarantee put in there about the clean sheet. So, you know, 0-0 is the worst thing that can happen. But you are right. It is, the defensive stuff's been very impressive. Preseason, the first two games, I feel very confident co-signing that's going to continue. But I think on the road, probably generally low scoring is the way to go. So put me down for a 1-0 win.
1-0 win. All right. We all have Charlotte FC winning. And one of the people here actually has something to say about it. So I guess you won't be in the game specifically, but still. We're going to go ahead to the last segment we're going to do with you before we let you get out of here. We've kept you for a while. And that is, we're going into the lightning round. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So the rules of the lightning round are thus. You will get two options. You will tell us which one you prefer. There will be no explanations. And people at home just have to live with it. Myself included, unfortunately. I don't get to ask for explanations after the show either. All good on your side?
All good.
All right. Lightning round. Premier League or La Liga?
Premier League.
PlayStation or Xbox?
Xbox, all the way.
Beach or mountains?
It's a tough one.
Five.
Beach.
All right. Cake or pie?
Cake.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Phone calls or texts?
Texts.
Which chore is worse, laundry or dishes?
Dishes, for sure. I hate dirty dishes.
Horror or comedy movies?
Comedy, for sure.
Would you rather be the passenger or the driver?
Passenger.
And the most important, pizza or wings?
Wings.
Yes! We got another one for Team Wings, ladies and gentlemen. That is what really matters. All that other stuff before about football, yeah. That's not important.
You say we can't ask questions about some of them. The pizza or wings one is the one that, if any of them do bring up any debate, that is usually the one that makes it happen, if there are any qualifiers.
Ben Bender was pizza, and my heart just broke for him. Because there are better things out there. And on that somewhat odd note for a football podcast, we are going to go ahead and say goodbye. That's going to be all of our time today. First and foremost, I'd like to say thank you to you. I said it before, I'll say it again. If you decided to spend your time with us, we love you. Thank you so much for being here. Ewan, thank you for another great podcast, buddy.
Yeah, really appreciate it, Brandon. Really appreciate the time and excited seeing you back out there. Hopefully fairly soon.
And to our Crowncast trialist, Brandon Cambridge, we think you did pretty well, buddy. I'm not going to lie, very impressive first performance.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much for having me on.
That's it. We will talk to you again after we go and take our next 3 points from Toronto. Goodbye.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.